The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Thank you for the privilege to be your sons, to call you our Father. Grateful to you this evening. And Lord, we expect mighty, mighty utterance by your Spirit. Let your power be evident in this meeting. I'm anointed this evening to stand in the office of my call and to be all that you've anointed me to be for your church this evening. Thank you for the mighty flow of utterance that we're going to have, for revelation that will bless us, and for the move of your Spirit that will meet needs and set us on the path that we must follow. In Jesus' name we pray. Shout a bigger amen. Amen. Let's be seated. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How are we doing? Today is day 23. Is that exciting? Glory to God. It's day 23 in these 30 days of light. Amen. So let's see what we can do today. How has it been for you? How's the meeting been for you? Huh? Don't nod your head. How has it been? Glory to God. So it's been an amazing time. And God has been blessing us. You know, yesterday we were looking at how that this house of God, that is Oikos, this house of God, okay, is also a family. And we're looking at how to handle the house of God as family. That we are sons and all of that, you know. There's something else I thought I was going to have full time to address today, but for some reason God is saying I should leave that. So if he instructs me to come back with it, I'm going to do that. But I want to talk about, I want to look at proper behavior in the house of God, but we're not going to do that today. Okay, because that 1 Timothy 3:15 tells us, I'll just hint it so that if I don't ever come back to it again, it's okay. That 1 Timothy 3:15 tells us that the church is the pillar and ground of truth. But how he started, he said, but if I tarry, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. So since the church is the house of God, Paul is saying there is a way you ought to behave. That goes to mean that there are things you can't say inside church. There's a way you can't behave inside church. We can't be in church, for instance, and I'm teaching and you're not writing. There is a proper way to behave in church. There is a proper way to act in church. You can't be here, for instance, and you are taking calls in the church. And I'm not saying this. But I want to say this, you know, when we are in a very organized system like this, you know, and your phone rings, it can be a bit embarrassing. So normally we wouldn't take calls. I'm talking about even when you're in your cell meetings, you don't do it because you're afraid of the pastor. You do it because of the honor of God in your heart. I know what I'm saying. Even when we're just three, if like this, we as I said here, people can hardly even do some things. But I'm saying when we are just three, when we are just four, when you are just having your meeting, you must be able to honor the house of God. Honor the family. That is the way we behave here. So, there is honor for Christian meetings. So, I don't know if I'm going to come to that, but I just had to mention that. There is honor for Christian meetings. There is honor for... This even goes down to how we dress. There is a way that is not appropriate to dress to a Christian meeting. Let me say it again. I'm not just talking about indecent dressing. There is a way you dress the meeting. I don't say this to everybody because you know we get to the streets to invite people and different people can come for our programs and whatever they wear. Someone can even come in on racks and we accept the person. But you as a trained believer, there is a way you cannot dress into God's house. There is a way. That's why even when you want to climb stage, why do you think we insist that if you're in the choir, you have to dress in a certain way? If you're an usher, you have to wear a certain thing. That same way, if you're ever going to climb this stage to come and do anything, there are things you can't wear. I know what I'm talking about. I can't ask you to come and lead prayer, to come and teach or do whatever, and then you comfortably come on whatever you like. Now, what that means is that you are dishonoring that particular meeting. Haven't you observed, if you see a governor walking, for instance, if you see a governor walking, he can have more than 30 protocols. The governor can be wearing a short knicker, but all the protocols will be on suit. Have you observed that? No matter, even if the sun is hot, there was wear suit. Now, that's a way to honor the presence of that man. So, it's not just about indecent dressing. I feel what I'm saying. There is a proper way. When you appear in God's house, there is a way to appear. Now, that's not because God is going to be angry with you. But that is a way to depict the state of your heart towards God. I get what I'm talking about. That's a way to show the state of your heart towards God. So, it's just dressing is there. Behavior around church. There are some people that can never sit down for a message to be over. Never. Something must make them stand up. And no matter, even if you preach for 15 minutes, they must stand up. That's a dishonorable way to be in church. I get what I'm saying. That's a dishonorable way to be in church. Why are you walking around? Where are you going to? The way you honor the house of God, that you sit calmly. You sit peacefully. When we say we should stand, you stand. For instance, there are people that do not know how to obey instructions in church. It's time for all of us to stand up. That's when they will be seated. Let's start jumping. That's when they will never jump. Let's all be seated and start walking around. Do you know part of the reason why ushers are positioned around you? Not this. I'm not saying you should turn them to your servants. But part of the reason is so that it can reduce some kind of loitering. So that perhaps you just want to go and pick this, or you can ask a usher to assist you. You mustn't walk around up and down like you don't have any self-control. Are you following what I'm saying? And so we must all learn the proper way to act when we come to God's house. That's a proper way. This is not a place where you can do anything that comes to your mind. I'm not talking about this church. I mean everywhere. Even if you go to a church where they are very disorderly, you as a person that has been trained cannot be disorderly there. You can't be. Because one major sign that you have been trained is the order we see in your conduct when you come around God's house. That's why my spiritual father has a series he does from time to time. It's called Spiritual Home Training. And what he's teaching is what I'm telling you. You get the point? Because that is a proper way to behave, to know that you've been taught. So you can't be claiming, I've been trained. If you've been trained, there is a way to behave in God's house. Paul told Timothy is the pillar and ground of the truth. So if there's the pillar and ground of the truth, he said, so that you may know how thou ought to behave yourself. So church is not a place where they are teaching and you are doing side comments. You are just, you know, even when the pastor says something funny and you laugh, there's still a proper way to laugh in church. Like, I'm just going to say it's a serious place. Now, when we are done with a joke and we are back to the world, you can't see me doing, we are done. Your laughter should finish already. It's a proper way to behave, actually. So that people don't come in here and think that we are just playing. I know what I'm talking about. And so, I may get to that later, but then, if I don't, just hold this for now. That is honor for Christian meetings. Punctuality is one of the ways to honor Christian meetings. How you sit down is one of the ways to honor Christian meetings. What you do in church is one of the ways to honor Christian meetings. Sitting where the usher says you sit is one of the ways to honor Christian meetings. That's a proper way. All you are thinking of is what can I do to help me receive better. But I will add something too, to also help my neighbor receive better. That's why you cannot be a distraction. I feel what I'm saying. You can't be a distraction to your neighbor. You can't just be talking to him, telling him. That's why sleeping is the wrong thing to do in church. It stops you from receiving and stops your neighbor too. And a lot of people, I say, what if I'm tired, sir? Let me tell you, I was sitting in a meeting about 3 years ago with a man of God. We rarely talk. But we just sit, we only sat down, I told the guys this many times. We only sat down. The pastor was about to start preaching, and that person was going to take like three or four hours. So he tapped me and said, I had a very stressful night yesterday. Please don't let me sleep. Once I close my eyes, stop me. I don't know him from anywhere. But eventually he did sleep in that message. But that stuff he did stuck to me. Because he showed me that he actually knows that this is, of course I know, because your flesh can be all over the place. But there are ways to show that you honor God's house. It's a dishonorable thing to sleep in church. No matter how long the sermon is. I didn't say it's a dishonorable thing to feel sleep in church. Because sleep or not, feeling sleepy or not is not about honor or dishonor. You get the point? But it's a dishonorable thing to start sleeping in church and sleep without self-control. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's a dishonorable thing to be chatting with your friends in church. Why is your data on in church? Why are you even using your phone in church? Now, if you say it's Bible, why is your data on? So there's a lot of things that we do that are quite very dishonorable. So, and what it means that you're not honoring the meeting. I remember what you always teach. The anointing flows in the direction of honor. So when you're a dishonorable person, there can be a move of God in the meeting and it will cut you off. You won't get it. Because to start with, imagine it's when you're actually jumping up and down that God actually wants to talk to you about something. There are people I know, and I'm saying very painfully, every time that you want to say something that concerns them, they stand up and leave the service. That in following them from their father's house has followed them to church. It's a dishonorable way to be in service. And so if you're going to be in church, you must be in church with honor. You say, I'm not shouting. I'm not correcting. That's why I was talking about discipline 2 days ago. There is formative discipline, remember? And corrective. Now, I'm not saying this to correct anybody. This is just teaching. It's formative discipline. So that when you don't have obedience, I said, that will not be corrective discipline. I get the point. So I'm just trying to say, there's a way to behave in church. And say it again, not just in this church, anywhere. Even if you go to a dishonorable place, there's a way to sit down in church. There's a way to even dress. As a young lady, I know I might not be wearing an indecent cloth and all of that. But if you observed all our ladies, you know, and ministers and leaders in this ministry, when they sit and they are not wearing a trouser or something, they put a cloth over their legs. That is a very wise thing to do. We are trying to cut away with destruction as much as possible. Because, let me tell you, these brothers are not as spiritual as you think they are. Amen. So the brother doesn't always say, my pen is always falling down. If you didn't get it, leave it. I'm not saying you should stay. Help your brother stay focused. Help them stay focused. Let people look forward to sitting around you in church. Because they know that if they do, they will have the biggest focus ever. Don't be the reason someone is not getting blessed in church. Dress well. Be the kind of person that by your dressing we will want to keep you in front of our church. I get what I'm saying. There's a sister that used to come here, a great sister that used to come here at a time. But she had a very terrible sitting posture. At the time I began to feel it was deliberate. But I didn't do anything about it. I think it was one of who said that? Was that old GMD? Well, having a meeting, he said, sir. Every time I want to snap picture. So I had to tell the minister, go and tell her. The underground teller to coordinate. That's why you don't sit in church. If you don't have training from your home, don't bring it here. Because one of the things church does is the trainings you missed when you are in your home will add to it. That's what I'm saying.
So, when you are in church, proper way to sit. And not just about indecency now. You can't sit in church like that. Oh, I don't know how to say what I'm going to say. When you don't sit in church, when you are sitting in church, sit like you are in a good, you are about to learn something. Don't sit so recklessly and so tired that whenever, if camera captures you, we cannot post it. Because anybody that's seen that picture knows that this pastor is very boring. Don't sit like that.
Amen.
So, that's just honor. There is a lot to say. Paul said, let all things be done decently and in order. And in order. When we say, let's keep quiet, that's not when you start shouting into us, shakarabaraba, that's a dishonor for our meeting.
That's what I'm saying.
When we say, let us pray very well, that's not the time to start walking around and start, that's a dishonor for our meeting. When we say, let us all shout and start dancing, that's not the time to sit down and say, I'm not in the mood. That's a dishonor for our meeting. That's why you realize, if I train you personally, some of you that are here know, you cannot bring your mood into the service. I don't permit that. No leader under me is permitted. People, now, it's a dishonorable thing. You know why I say to bring your mood into the service? Because when you are in service, you don't do things according to your mood. You do things according to the instruction given at that time. It doesn't make sense for a leader, for instance, to be in church. Maybe you came, you wake up from the wrong side of the bed, you're not even happy. Pastor is talking, he even says something funny to lighten up the mood. Your face is straight. Ask my minister, she will answer to me. If that's after, why are you not laughing? Like, I can't believe for anything. You are not laughing. Somebody could hear that and say, why are you shouting? I didn't laugh, it was not fun. It is fun. I'm just saying, that's the same way we will say, let's all dance. But I'm not actually in the mood to dance. You just stand. They are dishonoring the meeting. I get what I'm saying. Let's all just in the Holy Ghost. You're not in the mood. You don't do things according to your mood. Now, if you woke up very excited, very, very excited, you're so happy, but the message that day coming is a very sober one. And I'm preaching and you're laughing. Because you woke up excitedly, something is wrong. You don't do things according to your mood. You follow the instruction of the hour. So I know that a leader can come to church having a very bad day. Who has not had a bad day here? Some of you even came from a bad day. Some of you have even talked you have a bad day. But it's okay. I'm just saying maturity demands that, for it as a leader, you know that when you are in church as a leader, you're supposed to be approachable. You're a leader, people should be able to meet you and say, ah, sister, this and this. Now, you are now the leader that the face is looking very terrible. And somebody will say, sir, thank you for saying this. Me, I'm not a leader. I'm saying you are supposed to be prepared to be a leader because you'll be a leader one day. Say amen. You'll be a leader one day. So start preparing. You don't come to church and then your face is just round. Let's rejoice. The guy, just like yesterday, the choir they were trying to do, I won't keep short. Running up and down. I'm just trying to ginger you. And you are just very sad. Why are you like that? Why are you like that? That's dishonor. Have you not learned that when you are before, now I was talking about laughing. When you are before any man that is bigger than you, anything he says, laugh. Have they not taught you? So that you don't go and see your destiny helper tomorrow and he says he's cracking dry joke. It cannot be dry. Any joke he cracks is funny. Anything he says, just say, just keep it like that. That's a mature thing to do. Because if he cracks joke and you don't laugh, you see, that money you came to find, you won't see it. The money is in your laughter. So anything he says, just laugh. Keep it like that. And so, actually, I'm telling you. Some of you, God will expose you to go and see some ministers that are bigger than you. And you just sit down there. And then the person, he says something that he actually wants to use to lighten up the mood. And you're saying it's not fun. It has to be. In fact, it's very fun. Now, I'm trying to say, you don't live a way to honor me. Don't live according to your mood. How will you feel? Because I'm talking about honoring meetings. How will you feel if you have a wedding, you hold your wedding, plan for the reception, somebody comes to the reception and does not laugh throughout? Huh? Anytime dancing, everybody just sits looking at you. He's doing everything. It's time to spray money. We just get lemon and come to him. And you might almost I cannot spray me, go with your man. Because wedding is supposed to be a happy event. So no matter the mood you were in before you came, now drop that mood and get into the mood of the event. That's actually how to honor events. The same way you can't go to a burial and somebody issue and start laughing. Why they are doing fading away like the stars of the morning. Everybody just walk and they just do the issue. You can't do that. You can, now, if you laugh, you're dishonoring that meeting. That's no way to start laughing. That's why you know that this meme I've been seeing, very funny. That's why you can't eat better rice with banana. You can't do that. You can't eat better rice with banana. I can't say just bring out banana from your bag. Why? Why? Are you happy? Now, I'm trying to say, I just built the secular in for you to see that even in secular events, there is a way they want you to act in different places. And it's not pretense. That's something in the church. So actually, when I'm saying this, I'm not demanding for too much. It's church. That's where we want you to behave here. That's where we want you to laugh. That's where we want you to act. So, no pastor is actually asking for too much. We are just saying, this is where you are. Behave how you expected to behave here. That's how to honor meetings. There's a way to honor, when you're sitting before your parents, there's a way to honor them. You're meeting with your parents, there's a way to honor your parents. Actually. You get the point? And it doesn't mean you are being too whatever. There's a way to honor your parents. You go to see your in-laws, there are things you don't do in front of an older person. Do you understand? You and your wife, you guys are so in love, and all of that, and then your mother or your father is sitting in the parlor because she's your wife, put off an act in front of her parents. That's a dishonorable thing to do, sir. I know what I'm saying. Say, but she's my wife. I didn't say she knows you black kissing. Why are you trying to do it there? Because you want to show your mother that you're in love. You don't know she can see through you. She knows you guys are fighting, so she just knows you guys are just acting. She has been there. So what's the point I'm trying to claim? So when you are there, you stay properly. I know what I'm talking about. It's just one of the ways to show that you are mature. So there is honor for Christian meetings. So that's why it starts from the dressing. It starts from everything. It starts from everything. That's why some of you, I may start correcting you about dressing. When I correct you, don't say, well, I'm not dressed badly. I'm not indecent. It's not about indecency. It's about the fact that you do not consider the meeting. Some of my pastors know here. I'll have meetings that I will tell them in this meeting, none of you should come. I will tell you what to wear. And I do that because all I'm trying to say in that statement is honor the meeting. Recognize I'm not coming to play. And honor the meeting. Are you getting what I'm saying now? So, I that's home training, honor for Christianity. But that's not what I'm doing today. But that blessed you. So, let's see something. We're looking at the church, right? And we looked at the church as the pillar and ground of truth. We looked at the church as family. Now, I want to open up something else today and see if I can open and close it today. Because I'm trying to say, not say too much about it, because I have a strong feeling that God will have me address it later, maybe at Zoe, something like that. Amen. But let's see. So the church again, because I'm talking about it, we have to address it. Church is the body of Christ. I've answered that. Is what else? Pillar and ground of the truth. It's the family of God. The church is the army of God. It's God's army. So in the Bible, the church is referred to. Now, you observe when you read the Bible, you find out that Christians, believers, are referred to in a military sense and with military terms. And this is so important that we look at it and say a few things that God has put in my heart this evening. The church, Christians are referred to as soldiers. And if Christians are referred to as soldiers, it then means that the church is an army. Let me show you some scriptures. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 25, of course, I wait for Elisa to open it. Philippians 2 and verse 25. If you have it, I have it. Do you really have it? If you have it, I have it. Okay. He said, yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother,
companion in labor and fellow soldier. So by that term, fellow soldier, Paul announces himself as a soldier and announces Epaphroditus too as a soldier. Now, if you read the Bible very well, you find that Paul never went to any military school. So he wasn't talking about soldier as in the Nigerian military or Israel military service. No. So he calls him a soldier and calls Epaphroditus a fellow soldier. And every translation uses the same term. Amen. So King James said fellow soldier. NLT said fellow soldier. Amplified Classic says fellow soldier. I get what I'm saying. All these translations use the same term. Amen. Glory to God. So he is a soldier, a fellow soldier. Glory to God. Now, I also show another scripture, 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 3. Glory to God. Have you gotten it? 2 Timothy 2 verse 3. It says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. As a good soldier. So, again and again, the Christian is referred to as a soldier. Are you following me? And so the church of Jesus Christ is an army. It is God's army. So, 2 Timothy 2 says, as a soldier of Jesus Christ. That again goes back to why I said the other day that no Christian can be without a church. As no soldier can be without a platoon. Soldiers belong to their platoons. You get the point? Nobody said, I'm a soldier. And they say, where is your barracks? Where do you stay? They say, I don't have any barracks. Just that I'm a soldier. So is it possible a soldier to be without a barracks? Well, it's possible, but he will not be a practicing soldier. I get what I'm saying. Every practicing soldier will belong to a platoon. We have his barracks and all of that. Amen. I said amen. So he's a soldier. So we are soldiers of Jesus and we belong to the army of God. The local church is that army. So in this particular vicinity, the army of God to fight whatever battles that God will have to fight is this church. And then every other local church is presented. Are you still here? And so the church is an army. Christians are soldiers. So we are God's army for any battle he wants to engage in against the kingdom of darkness. Because again, you realize the devil is defeated already. Okay? So the devil is past. Jesus has defeated the devil. But the devil is still showing forth his whatever power that he thinks he has in different places. I'm going to see some of those things very shortly. So any agenda of the devil on earth, the church is God's army to counter the agenda of hell on earth. So that's why if you read Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, Ephesians 6 verse 12, are we there? I'll give you a little time. If you find it, let me know. Are we there now? He said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So when Paul said we wrestle not, he's not saying we don't wrestle at all. He just said we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. So there is a wrestling. But against principalities and powers. Against rulers of the world, of darkness of this world. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. So there is a wrestle. And the church is God's army for that warfare. The church is God's army for that warfare. And so it's important I'm teaching this because what else I wanted to do as we leave this place is that Christians must begin to see themselves as soldiers. The church must see herself as an army. Because there's actually a warfare, that is a battle that the church must fight. I give an example of three battles the church must fight. One, Satan contests for the souls of men. Satan contests and contends for the souls of men. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4
It says that the God of this age has blinded the mind of them that believe not. So Satan fights for the souls of men. So the church is God's army that he uses to recover the souls of men from the claws of darkness. From the blindness that Satan casts on them, the church is God's army. John 10:10 tells us the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So Satan wants to kill, he wants to steal, he wants to destroy. The church is God's army that he's going to use to counter that agenda. Are you following what I'm saying now? So, I've shown you one, Satan contends, he fights for the souls of men. He tries to conquer, he tries to hold the souls of men. He tries to hold down men's souls. And that's why the church exists. I give another example, Satan fights and opposes the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. He does all the time. And that's why the church also must be a fighting church. Because Satan opposes and fights the ministry to the last. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 18, Paul said, wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once at the gate, but Satan hindered us. So we see Satan hindering Paul's ministry. I agree what I'm saying. So I've shown you one, Satan stops salvation of men. He tries to stop it. Two, Satan fights ministers and ministries to the last. So somebody's wondering, the church is an army. What are we fighting? I'm showing you already. We are fighting against the devil for the souls of men. We are fighting against the devil, okay, for the ways he tries to attack, for his influence he casts over the church and over ministries. Bible tells us about Jezebel in Revelation. How that she has gotten herself drunk with the blood of the saints. So Satan fights ministries. Are you still here? That's why again I said the church must be prepared to fight. So Paul is telling the Thessalonian church, I would have come to see you, but Satan hindered us. Clearly. So you know something I want to say. Paul was not all those. He wasn't denying reality. You get the point? He says, Satan, you are no more new creation than Paul. But he says, Satan hindered us. And as he said, we wanted very much to come to you. And I, Paul, tried again and again, but Satan prevented us. So Satan can actually prevent a ministry from doing their program. Are you following what I'm talking about here? So when I say the church is an army, it's because Satan has an agenda on the earth. Amplified Classic said, because it was our will to come to you, I mean that I, Paul, again and again, wanted to come, but Satan hindered and impeded us. I can show you many translations passing the same message. Message Bible said, I, Paul, said, you can't imagine how much we missed you. I, Paul, tried over and over to get back, but Satan stymied us each time. Did I pronounce that well? Stymied. You don't even know, so let's use it. Each time. Are you still here? He fought hard. I like the way Passion puts it. Passion said, we miss you badly. And I personally wanted to come to you, trying again and again. But our adversary, Satan, blocked our way. So Satan blocks the way of the church. That's why the church, again, must be taught that they are soldiers. Must be taught that we are an army. So first, we are an army because Satan tries to stop the salvation of men. Second, we are an army because Satan tries to oppose and attack ministries and even ministers. Churches come under attack. The church must be taught to fight. Amen. Are we still here? Thirdly, we are an army. And thirdly, we fight because Satan brings affliction to people, to families, to cities. Satan brings affliction. He brings affliction. Affliction. You get to places, you see people sick. That's an affliction of Satan. The church must be taught that we are God's army to counter the affliction of Satan upon men's lives. Are you following what I'm saying now? We are God's army to counter satanic affliction. You get to places, you see people sick. That's an affliction of the devil. We are God's strategy to fix and deal with that affliction. We are. You see people sick, you see people living under curses. We are God's strategy to deal with that matter. So apart from just being a family, we are also an army. Cities are under attack. Human beings are under attack. Families are suffering. We are God's strategy to deal with that matter. We are his army. Are you following what I'm saying now? We are his army. We are his weapon. He told them in Jeremiah 51, he said, you are my battle axe. Put it up, verse 21. Jeremiah 51, verse 21. You are my battle axe. I'm going to come that much later. Thou art my battle. So, actually, God has a strategy for his warfare. It's the church. Psalm 20. Glory to God. Thou art my battle axe and weapons of war. So, hear what I'm going to say. God's weapon is not guns and bombs. God's weapon is you. The church is his army. Thou art my battle axe. With thee I will break in pieces the nations. With thee I will destroy kingdoms. It is the church that he uses. So you are in this army because there are nations. There are families under bondage. That's why, I'm saying this because you have to stop seeing yourself as just someone who is part of the family of God to enjoy and to receive. You are also an army who has a duty. You have a responsibility. You're not just someone that I receive, I take. Mm-mm. You are also a soldier on duty. So we are not just here to do family. We are also here to do warfare. Are you following what I'm talking about here now? By the time I go into this matter, you will now understand the reason why every good pastor will try to train, because there's actually a battle to fight. And if the pastor doesn't train you, you will be eaten up raw in the battlefield. So three things I said, we fight, there is an army, because Satan tries to stop the salvation of men. Two, because Satan attacks ministries and attacks ministers. Three, because there is affliction on cities, families, individuals. The church is the army that God is going to launch against that attack of the devil. So don't just see yourself as a Christian. You must see yourself as a soldier. So Paul kept referring to the church as soldiers. He called himself a soldier. Called Epaphroditus a soldier. Called Timothy soldier. So we are soldiers. In the reference of it. Because there is a battle. You know, I always laugh about this song. People saying, I'm a soldier and all of that. And that's not because I don't believe in the meaning of the song. I'm only saying, many singers don't know what they're singing. You're a soldier on TikTok. You're a soldier on Twitter. That's not where the battle is, sir. You're a soldier, yet on a Sunday morning, you won't go to church. Sister don't play, you're a soldier. Imagine a soldier doesn't report to barracks, doesn't go to camp. But he's a soldier. We are an army of Jesus. Because Satan has an agenda on the earth. We are an army of Jesus to counter that agenda of hell upon the earth. That's why you came. That's why you are in church. You are not just someone who you're supposed to eat, get blessed, receive healing. You are also a soldier who has been brought into the camp of God to do his assignments. Glory to God. So the church is God's army. Say amen. This is why we must go for souls. Because how to actually fight. Remember, the first fight I mentioned is fighting for souls. The souls of men. That's why a believer must go for evangelism. That's where the warfare is. A believer must go to win souls. That's warfare. Soul winning is spiritual warfare. You know why? Because soul winning is the highest of the destruction of souls is the highest agenda of the devil on earth.
You know what I said?
Destruction of souls is his highest agenda. So soul winning has to be an activity he has the highest interest in. So because of the agenda of hell, a believer must go to win souls. So soldiers go for battle. Right? Soul winners are soldiers here.
I get what I'm saying.
That's why what makes you, one of the major things that makes you a general, first that's a general in God's kingdom, is your soul winning. Because what makes you a general in the army are the number of battles you've gone through and conquered, right? So if you're not evangelizing, you're not actually engaging in the battle. So before you start singing, I am a soldier in the battlefield, you must go to win souls. That's why I find it strange that there are believers who don't go to win souls. Do you even know who you are? You're a soldier. You know, it's just like it's time for battle and you retreat on the battlefield. You know, during the Biafra war, my dad used to tell us there was a particular Biafran general he told us about. I won't call his name because we're on air. But the man had this kind of attitude where if he enters the battlefront and he's walking and he sees a soldier hiding behind another soldier, he will shoot you dead. Because you don't retreat in front of battle. Say amen. And they are hiding. He will take you out. Shoot you to death. So if he's around, you are fighting. You know what he's trying to tell them? Soldiers don't run from battle. We face it and we fight. There is outreach tomorrow. That's when you know that you're not going to come. You have all your reasons. It's because we've not been trained to think like soldiers. This is the real warfare we are doing. This is the real warfare. Soul winning. That's why you must go for souls. You must go for souls. You must go for souls. Because Satan fights souls. Because you are an army. That's why you must stand against the agenda of hell in ministry. Because I told you, Satan fights ministries. That's why believers must learn to pray. Because another way we do this warfare, we do this army thing, this military thing, is in prayer. That's why we must learn to stand and pray. Pray warfare prayers. Because I can tell you for free, Satan attacks ministry soul. And because the church has not learned to train her people as soldiers, people just sit around and see things go wrong.
I get what I'm saying.
And believers will be able to pray angels to war. You hear what I said? Like, pray to a point when angels begin to go. Because there is an attack against the church. Every time it's always been like that. It's not even today. You see Paul saying, Satan hindered us. Imagine Paul saying that. I mean, the master of new creation teaching said, Satan hindered us. So if Satan hindered Paul, Satan can hinder your pastor, sir. Do you know what I'm talking about here? That's why you must carry a warfare mentality. The believer who doesn't win souls and who doesn't pray is not a soldier. He's a soldier who is not fighting.
I get the point.
Because I say, oh, that is a battle. I'm a soldier. Let's pray for 1 hour. Soldier will not show up. So where are you fighting? Where are you soldiering your soldier? Where are you doing it? It's in soul winning and in prayer that we demonstrate we show our military prowess. We are an army of Jesus. He uses us to win souls and he uses us also to ensure that the agenda and the orchestration of hell against his church is frustrated.
It's awful I'm talking about here.
And I was talking about fighting. I was talking about fighting. Somebody sent me a testimony during the Testers of Light, how that he began to pray. Because he noticed that his streets were, there were almost every young boy there. They were smoking weed. They had bunks and all of that. And he stood up in prayer. And I like that testimony. That is military mindset.
I get the point.
You go to war. You go to war. If I tell you some things we've done, I don't like saying some things. Sometimes you pass a brothel Whether apostles in your neighborhood, shut down in Jesus' name. Amen. I give you 3 months. Please shut down. Say, does it matter? That people's life are wasting. Say, somebody says, you start another business. I get what I'm saying. You must learn to go to war. This is warfare. That's why you also, believers must be involved in ministry, setting the oppressed free, healing the sick, because Satan afflicts people. Your hands must be involved in healing the sick. This, your hands must be involved in casting out devils. You must be involved, because that's also warfare. Because I told you, why we are an army is because Satan oppresses people. Remember? And cities. So you must begin to set your prayers free. That's why I love outreach. It's an opportunity to go to war. There are many people who are under the bondage of hell, under the bondage of Satan. God is setting us up to be able to go there and put our hands on them, and they are set free. That is warfare. So what I'm talking about, warfare, I'm not talking about the fact that we are an army, so that every night we wake up, they are shouting, die. That's not what I'm saying. Our war ground, our war front is in the field. Of course, there is warfare that happens in prayer. That's the second part I mentioned. But majorly we war out there. Even when prayer, we're praying and bringing and standing strongholds on the hearts of men and in different places. Then we go out and minister to them. If you are still, you're a soldier, you're a soldier, and what you're thinking about when you sing you're a soldier, when you say you're a soldier, is how to fight against the devil attacking your family. Well, you've not yet understood the whole assignment. Of course, a soldier will protect himself. I'm not saying when the devil comes, you leave him. You fight. Every soldier protects himself. But that's not the assignment of the soldier. A soldier is to protect Nigeria, not himself. Two of us. So the method is in God made you a soldier. It's not for you to protect yourself. Or every devil against me and my family, die. I come against you. That's just you protecting yourself. I'm talking about where you now have to go out there, win souls, cast out devils, heal the sick, deliver the oppressed, make mess of the power of darkness. That's your military responsibility. So this is an army of God. This is how God brings the devil to his feet, the church. To his knees is the church. This is how God brings out people who are under the claws of darkness. The church is that strategy. This is how God helps people who are sick and are dying. The church is that strategy. And so we must see ourselves as. So every time we gather, I'm trying to teach you something. Every time we walk into this church, first, I've said many things. We must understand I've come to the body of Christ, where I have to take my part. As the hand or the leg or something. Remember I taught you that. Again, I've come to the pillar and ground of the truth. Where the truth must be taught. So you sit down ready to learn the truth. Again, I've come to the family of God. What that means that all these people are my brothers and sisters. But then, you know another way to think. I've come to my barracks. I agree what I'm talking about here. I've come to my military, my camp, my platoon. This is where we are prepared for battle. So that's why you realize whatever we are doing in church here, all these trainings will come in handy when you leave, when you get to the world. Because this is actually, this place is not your fighting zone. It's not in this church. The war front is out there. So the church is God's army. We must carry a fighting mentality. We must fight. We must fight for souls. We must fight for the souls of men. You must fight when there is a satanic attack on the ministry. You must fight when you find people who are in trouble. Pastors must fight for their members. Leaders must fight. Oh, come on. David said, I was giving my father's sheep one day, and the lion and the bear came, and I went after the lion. That's military. Yes. You go after the lion. I can't count how many times in the place of prayer I've had to go after lions. Literally in the place of prayer. Because I've seen that moving away with this sister. And then we hold on. Sometimes it's the person's health in jeopardy. I get to the point. I've gotten reports. So this one is sick. They're saying she's going to die. And if she doesn't get well. And then we go to war. Not this one. That's military. Not this one. We stay there sometimes fasting.
until we recover. That's military mindset. Are we following what I'm talking about here now? Well, I tell this story many times. I have daughters, I have sons to the glory of God who are in this ministry till now that stay here. And I hope they stay forever. Would have received their medical reports. Some will say months for them to die. Doctor will say 2 years for them to die. And we get to pray and say, Father, not this one. Give me a new kidney, Lord, for this one. Because there's an oppression of hell upon people. A soldier must know that he's created to fight. I get the point. You must fight. As a pastor, if I come in here, for instance, and I notice that there is something prevalent, all the young people here, they graduate, they don't get jobs. That's an example. When a pastor enters and finds out that all the marriages in this church are troubled, though. All of them are threatening. There are 30 marriages, about 28 are threatening divorce. That's warfare calling. So ministry is military. I know what I'm saying. Now, you now go to prayer and stay there. And stay there. Say, Lord, what is happening? Why is this happening? You stay there until you come back with your results. You get a certain place in your neighborhood, everybody is involved in cultism. Prostitution all over the place. Acting crazy things. That's no way to start criticizing. I say, these people are just, you go to war. After prayer, every evening you go begin to pick them one by one. You say, if there are 100 youths here, I will commit 1 week to each of them. Begin to preach to them. That's how a soldier thinks. Warfare. So, don't wait until we shout war starts. Because the devil has shouted war starts. Are you feeling what I'm talking about here? You come and you see everybody doing cultism. That's when to go to warfare. When to go to war. Everybody doing prostitution. War is calling. Young guys are just walking up and down, not doing anything with their life. That's war calling. There's a village where there is no church. That's war calling. Must go to war. Must carry a military mindset. This is God's army. I will stay here. So the oikos of God is also his army. That's what I'm saying. That's also his army. We are his weapon. Amen. Look at that Jeremiah 51:50. Says that was my battle axe and weapons of war. With thee will I break in pieces the nations. With thee will I destroy the kingdoms. Continue. With thee will I break in pieces the horse and his rider. With thee will I break in pieces the chariot and the rider and his rider. With thee will I also break in pieces man and woman. With thee will I break in pieces old and young. With thee will I break in pieces the young man and the maid. Verse 23. I will also break in pieces the shepherd and his flock and all of that. Verse 24. And I will render unto Babylon all and to all the inhabitants of Chaldea all their evil that they've done in Zion. Who was he talking to? When he say, with thee. Go to Jeremiah 51. Go to verse 1. I just hope I get what I want to show you now. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Say, I'm part of God's army. Is that how you say that? Say, I am part of God's army. Don't even say that like a battle ready. I am part of God's army. Glory to God. Sam is battle axe. I said, I am his battle axe. Glory to God. So you notice he kept saying, with thee. Who is he talking to? Amen. Go to verse 19 so that I can just show you. Read everybody with me. The portion of Jacob is not like them. For he is the former of all things. Watch this. Israel is the rod of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. Verse 20 now says, thou. So who is he talking to? He's talking to Israel. Amen. So he says, sir, it's not to Israel that is his battle axe. Well, Galatians 6. I think verse 19. Galatians 6 and verse 19. So he said Israel is his battle axe. Okay, so Galatians 6 verse 15. Get it. If you get it, tell me. Galatians 6 verse 15. Are we there now? Are you there? He said, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but what? In verse 16, let it together, verse 16. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy upon the Israel of God. So the Israel of God is not people that are from Israel. Problem, end out of that verse. New Living Translation. Galatians 6:16. Read with me. It doesn't matter whether we've been circumcised or not. What counts is what? Whether we've been transformed into a new creation. Verse 16. May God's peace be upon all who live by this. Which principle did he mention? Look at this. May God's peace be upon all who live by this principle. What principle is that? Go to the previous verse. Let's read verse 15 again. So what principle is he talking about? Being transformed into a new creation. So verse 16 now said, may God's peace be upon all who live by this principle. They are the new people of God. King James said they are the real Israel of God. Amplify Classic. He said, peace and mercy be on all who walk by this rule, who discipline themselves and regulate themselves by this principle, even upon the true Israel of God. So when God is saying that Israel is his battle axe, he's actually speaking figuratively of what the church represents for him. So we are God's army. Is that very clear? Have your seats. We are God's army. Amen. We are God's military weapon. We are his team. Amen. Now, let me tell you what this means. It means you must carry a military mindset and have a military lifestyle. Let me give you some things. What this means, number one, is you must, because I want to talk about military mindsets, military lifestyle. Number one, you must receive in the church, you must receive military-like training. Because you are God's army, you must receive military-like training. What I mean is, of course, we are not soldiers that carry, that wear camo or what have you, but we must receive the training that soldiers receive. A training that looks like training of a military man. Why am I saying this? Because we cannot be soldiers. Every soldier is trained. You can't be an army and you're not trained for it. That's why I strongly believe that no church should offer her people soft kind of trainings. If you give that kind of soft training, they will not survive when the battle starts. Again, you understand why every training should be hard. Why? This is an army. Have you not observed that the training of ministry is structured like the training of military? You must be trained. Are you getting the point? You must be trained. You must be trained to know how to evangelize. You must be trained to know how to pray. You must be trained to know how to fight the devil. You must be trained to know how to contend and stand. You must be trained to know how to follow souls up and hold them till they come to Jesus. You must be trained. Because you cannot actually be a soldier if you're not trained for it. It's what I'm talking about here. You must be trained. You must be trained. Every soldier must be trained for the warfare he's going to have. You must be trained for the battle that you have been called to, that you are going to contest in. Must be trained. That's why no training should be soft. Yeah. Training should be hard because you have been trained as a soldier. Do you know what I'm saying? Now, if you have been trained as a teacher, well, we can. But if you have been trained to fight, I must be trained like that. So that, I always give this example, so that tomorrow, if they say someone around you, a believer around you is about to die, and you need to stand in prayer for that person for 5 hours. Imagine if you've not been trained to pray like that. Imagine. Again, that's why I say, every opportunity you have to be trained and you miss it, it will backfire in the future. Every training you miss will backfire because it might be someone close to you that you might need that your prayer stamina to save. But when it was time to gain, to be trained to have that stamina, you missed that training. Are you following what I'm talking about here now? So today we are coming to pray for 5 hours. We will not see you. What you don't realize is that all those things is preparing you for warfare. Because you're a soldier. I get what I'm saying now. We are going to go for evangelism. So we will not show up. You are missing trainings.
missing trainings. Tomorrow, you know the first thing about military, tomorrow you might even need that training
for your own protection.
Let's do evangelism, you won't come. Because in evangelism, you meet devils. You might meet someone that wants to attack you. Let's go for missions, you won't come. You might go to mission and meet someone that wants to bring you down. And you go through and you survive and you come out. That training will not leave you, sir. So that tomorrow you want to build a house and somebody says, I've put poison there. You walk in and carry it and throw it away. You've been trained for it.
I get what I'm talking about.
But imagine you don't have that training. They say they put poison there. They say, hey, Mogbe, I'm my own. You know that kind of thing. Training is needed. Both formal training and informal trainings. Both training where you have to write exam and training where you have to go to the field. All of them are there. You must be trained. And the training should not be sweet. Military training is the most difficult training ever. That's the most difficult. That trained. Somebody see how they're trained. You wonder, do these people even care about these guys? They do all of that not because they hate them, but because there's something they want to produce from them. So when you see us train you this way, there is a reason. There's a reason. So these are trained though. Ah, those guys are quiet. They're very trained. If you interact with a few of them, if you sit around them, you just know that there's a train these guys have that you don't have. I know what I'm saying now. When I give you things like regiments, pray by 6 a.m. every day, that's your training. So that if you go for NYSA camp, have you not observed that they wake you up by a certain time every day? That's the same training they are giving. Same training. So first of all, I said, if we are an army, it means that we must be trained in a military fashion. We must be given that military-like training. We must be given that training. I get to the point. Why do you teach us sometimes for 8 hours? Don't you get tired? I'm training you. Amen. Glory to God. Why do you ask us to pray that long? Oh, is God deaf? God is not deaf. You are the one that needs to pray. You are being trained. So that tomorrow when they say there is a problem and you need to stand and pray for 3 hours, it's like beans. Just say, is it only 3 hours? Ah, shaka bala baraba, you are done. I get the point. I told you guys about a woman who gave birth to a deformed child, an imbecile guy, an epileptic child rather. And she saw it as a warfare. She said every night, she said, I'm not going to eat dinner. Once she serves her family dinner, she goes into the room and begins to pray. Every night, for months, until that child became well. Now imagine she didn't have that training. I get what I'm saying. That's why every real church will train you, and you must not miss the training. Because this is an army. Imagine a soldier who misses classes. Training, they are teaching how to shoot, you won't come. They are teaching how to defend yourself in battle, you won't come. You know, there are courses that when you study, you don't miss classes. Because if you miss classes, you might beat your own death. As a soldier, don't miss classes. But today, we are going to teach you defense. How to defend yourself when an enemy is fighting. You dodge. You see that way you dodged. That's the way you will die when the battle starts. Because that training you get as a soldier is not only for your country, it's also for yourself. Because if you don't get the training, you will die in the battlefield. Because you know the truth, whether you got the training or you didn't get the training, they will send all of you to battle. I guys get what I'm talking about. We're already in the battle. We're in the battlefield. Whether if you miss the training or you attended the classes, the devil is fighting all of us. Whether you miss prayers or you don't, he's fighting all of us. I get what I'm saying, friends. He will come against you. He will come at your business. He will come at your family. He will come at the people under your care. As a leader, he will come for people. David was giving his father's sheep. He came for his sheep. He will come for those things. You better be prepared to fight. And I pity members who their pastors cannot fight. I pity members who their pastors have not been taught to fight. Their life will keep moving a certain way. I pity those members. I'm not talking about fighting on stage. You come and say, every demon, beyond that, I mean behind the scene, you hold the devil and say, leave my child alone. A person will be able to do that. That's why you need the training. And some of you don't know whether tomorrow God is going to call you to the ministry, for instance. Now we're teaching you to pray. Do you know how, was it? I don't want to misquote anything. Was it, there's a man of God who I know. That's with Jesus or so. I've read about him. How, the guy had miracle, Jesus raising the dead. How did he get it? His members were dying. He buried one, buried two, buried three. Ah, he went to pray and said, God, no. I know what I'm saying. Stood there. The other one said that's how he broke into, I think it was cancer. Everyone was dying. He went to God and said, no. My people, no. He stood there until he broke through in prayer. So you have cancer, he'll come and set you free. What's he meant to fight? That's why training is important. Every minute, believer must be trained. So that's why, say all you want. I don't feel bad that I pass you through the things I pass you through. But so you'll be enjoying it, I will not be there. Now, so that's why this is an army. You see again why I feel pained when I see some pastors running church where they run church. Do they even realize that they are dealing with soldiers? Imagine they give a group of soldiers. Always imagine this as a pastor. They give a group of soldiers, about 100 of them to take care of. And every morning you are playing with them. Say, this morning we're going to do disco dance. Yeah. The next morning, tomorrow we're going to dance. We're going to have a nice time. Because we want to teach you guys socialization. You are teaching soldiers socialization. Now, after all of that, 3 years down the line, there is war. Boko Haram has invaded Soso village. They pick the 100 guys and say, go there. They'll go there. We're going to do socialization. Do you know, when I was younger, I used to hear that soldiers go for peace talk. I heard all those things. What do you think they do there? What do you think? They shoot, it's fight. I think they are not serious. Say, Nigeria is going for peace talk in Sudan. You think when they get there, they just say, hello guys, calm down. They go there to actually fight. They fight you to peace. They fight you to a point that you say, okay, I don't want to do it again. That soldiers are trained to fight. Be ready for the training. Because you're a soldier. Now, whether, I will say this out if I continue. Whether you agree that you're a minister, or you don't agree that you're a minister, Satan is coming at you. Whether you say, I don't have a calling, or you have a calling, you are ready here, you will fight. Jesus said, as far as in this world, you are in this world, you will have tribulations. So you better be prepared to fight. Even if you don't care to protect, to do anything in the kingdom, care for your own life. You know what I said? Be prepared, be trained. Be trained. So this is an army. And every army, there must be training. So that's the first implication of the church being an army of God. Number two. Stay connected to this training. Give me, I need this on the screen. Give me 2 Timothy 2 verse 5. So, number one, he was trained to fight. Number two, as soldiers, we must learn to fight by the rules. He said, if any man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. So, there is a way, I won't say much about this. This may come up as a way. Soldiers must fight by the rules. Must fight by the rules. That's why we don't do ministry anyhow. That's why I said, I know it doesn't concern some of you, but when you get to ministry conference in Zoe, I may talk about that. You don't do ministry anyhow. There's a rule, there's a way to fight. So write that, but let's leave it. Number three. Because we are soldiers, we are an army, it means we must be vigilant and battle ready at every time. You know, soldiers are battle ready. Always. Their vigilance is top notch. And I was talking to a soldier recently, and I told him, you know, he said, we were supposed to have an appointment. I told him, you know, I couldn't call you. When I came back from church, it was already late, it was already, he said, what time did you come back? I said, around after 10 to 11. You know, I laughed. He said, that's still afternoon now. He said, you know, he told me so, he said, we are always vigilant. See, even if you come around 4, I'll wake up. That's battle ready. That's why Peter said, be sober, be vigilant. For your adversary, the devil, walks about like a running lion. Look forward to the devil. Now, the believer must be battle ready. What it means, for instance, you must be preaching ready. It's time to preach and don't say, oh, I didn't prepare a message. You must be preaching ready. You must be prayer ready. That's what I normally say in church. Once I say, let us pray, start praying. I'm trying to teach you how to be prayer ready. Some people will never prompt to play worship song. Play worship song. Jesus, you love me too much. The way he has played for like 15 minutes. Then I say, yekereke, yekorobo. That's not, no! Before you be doing yekereke, yekorobo, say, you are somebody that wants to die, I've died. Must be prayer ready. I was trained to be prayer ready. In fact, those, we don't have keyboard. If we're going to sing, we sing ourselves to prayer. We sing and clap ourselves to fervency. I get what I'm saying? Be prayer ready. It's time to pray. That's what they say. See, Oga, if I wake from sleep now, get up. Someone has a need now. Shanderabalekata. That image. It must be prayer ready. And you can go like that for 6 hours at any time. Because we must be vigilant. Be sober. 1 Peter 5 verse 8. Be sober. Be vigilant. For your adversary, the devil, walketh around like a roaring lion. You must be prayer ready. You must be preaching ready. Must be mission ready. You're in the vehicle and someone just comes around you and somebody just prompts you to preach to the person. Don't say, I didn't plan for evangelism today. What do you mean plan for evangelism? Well, this I'm telling you now is the reason I said you must preach to everybody every day in these 30 days. Now what I'm trying to put in you? Be preaching ready. Because some of you observed, how many of you preached inside keke in these 30 days? Let me show you. Keke. Boss. On the road, office, classroom, as you want to buy something. Hello, how are you doing? I get what I'm talking about. You are trying to buy something, the person say, are you born again? As I'm about, you must be preaching ready at every time. I told you guys, the day the Lord used me to save a lady who was going to commit, who was, you know, under the spell of darkness. But it was at night. Came to this gariki here. To enter bus around after 10 when I was in school. And then and the Lord said, I entered the bus. The bus was loading. The Holy Ghost, the Lord said, get down from this bus and go forward. I said, Father, and I tell you literally, I said, Father, not this night. Because he does kind of things to me sometimes. Because God used to deal with you like that. Don't enter this one. And then I said, Lord, please, not today. But the voice was strong, so I came down. You know why I was saying not today? After 10 to 11, Gariki, sir. Now, if you know the meaning of that, he was then in Gariki, broad daylight, they could rob you with a gun. Broad daylight. I don't know that it's like that now. Broad daylight. And then I was there around to 11. I was even lucky to get a vehicle. And you now say, I should come down and go forward. But the Lord said, go forward. I just came down and I sincerely was murmuring. If I don't obey now, they say, I don't disobey divine leading. You know that kind of, I'll just move it. And then I saw this girl wearing this very short, skimpy skirt that her pants were almost showing. So I murmured, Pastor, look at what somebody's wearing by the time of the night. Nonsense. You know that kind of thing? I was really pissed off. And then, looking for my safe vehicle that was loading, but it was empty. I was supposed to be said, I said, God, is it this one? So I entered and sat down. Guess who came to sit by my side? That same girl. She was on my side. And I said, oh God, look at. And the Lord said, now she's the reason. In fact, God didn't need to say. I just knew. He was preaching ready. I didn't plan for deliverance. But in that vehicle, I did salvation, but deliverance, cast out of devil, Holy Ghost baptism inside that vehicle. Because I believe I started, I said, how are you? She said, fine, looked at me and God planned this. He said, hey, I know you. You are in Ojiniba sometimes to pray. I said, yes, I know you. I was in that program. I said, oh, I actually wanted, God wants me to talk to you. He said, thank God. Let me tell you my story. I'm just coming from my native doctor's house now. Real life story. I said, by the time, he said, no, not exactly. I want to see my boyfriend for the last time. I said, what do you mean? He said, she has gone there to do ritual, to have money. Back then. I said, I was a young girl looking for. She said, my family has been through a lot. So I went there to do stuff to get money. I said, okay, tell me. She said, they said I should bring an albino. Real life story. So I told the man, I said, the person that directed me to you promised me that I will not spill blood. So I came here because I don't want to spill blood. So, sir, please, I can't do albino. And the lady said, okay, bring white ram. So she said she ran around and got the white ram and gave the man. After some time, the guy, man reached out and said, the ghost rejected the ram. So that she must bring the albino. So she said she had, the deadline they gave her, she just went there that day and told her that by the next day, she and her family, they will start dying one by one. And so she went to her boyfriend's house. I said, you tell her boyfriend, I didn't tell him. I just went to see him for the last time. Now imagine you are not ready as a minister by that time. And I said, wow, I preached the gospel to her. She believed. Of course, she didn't have option. She wouldn't believe. She had to believe. So even if she dies, she will go to heaven. So she believed. And I said, but you're not going to die. We prayed. I prayed some. Thank God, the bus, I see how God planned. The bus was empty. I prayed some dangerous deliverance prayer there. Spoke to her. She was vibrating under the power of God while I was holding her. The bus flew out of her. I said, one more thing. They will come back. So let me get filled with the Holy Ghost. Right there in the bus. Shakabara was sitting down. Now, you must be preaching ready. Battle ready at all times. Because the day God will have you rush into that room and save someone from suicide, he won't tell you. You won't know it's that day. You see what I'm talking about? So there's a vigilance, alert. Alert. To hear the trumpet sound. I'm not talking about Jesus coming though. There are sounds of war that you can hear in the spirit. Some of you have missed. Have you not been sleeping sometime? Or in the night you want to sleep and you felt that war cry in your spirit. Doesn't happen to you. You feel there is something wrong. You must be battle ready. Drop everything. Sheman de labra. That's not saying chineke idima. No, you don't need to chineke idima to wake yourself up anything. You must be prayer ready, preaching ready, warfare ready, follow up ready. I know what I'm talking about here. Follow up everything ready. Because tomorrow, you know, I do it for our ministers here, leaders. And you guess that I may call you one day. Maybe my wife. We can call you and say, someone now just enter labor. And some of you, who has ever gotten that call from me? If I call you like that, you don't stop praying until I tell you to stop. Get up and start praying wherever you are now. Now, when I call, I don't normally ask you, where are you? Have you observed? I won't say, where are you? I know you can be anywhere at that time. I get what I'm saying. What if I'm in the market buying something? Start praying now. Okay, sir. Be ready. I get what I'm saying. Because if you don't pray and anything happens to that person in labor, you will feel guilty actually. Don't you think so? You will feel very guilty. Be ready. Soldiers are vigilant. Be sober, be vigilant at all times. That's our strength. I was the person that trained me sometimes. We are going for crusade together. Where she has been invited to preach. As I'm about to enter the door, you hear, you are preaching tonight. Ma, sir, ma. And you think she doesn't mean it. You go there, you will preach. And that's why I train our pastors here. Some of this you see them preaching as though, some of them, they got to know like 30 minutes for that time. Since why? One of my wife was asking me, why not just tell these people? Because she knows. I have a program online. I know who is going to preach. He said, why not tell her? Even her, that's how she tell her. Yeah. I just tell her, you're going to preach tomorrow. Sometimes in the night, around 8 p.m. Like that Sunday service, she preached. Yeah, that was it. And once that happens, sleep will leave your eyes. Where you want to sleep? You must be preaching ready. But I just call it and say, I'm preaching tomorrow. You will not even call. Sir, I forgot to tell you, I traveled though. I was when they say age of 4. What meeting was that? That was study fire. First day. The travel was in Obola. I said, where are you? Say, I'm still about to come back. I said, well, when you come back, you are preaching the first message today. Afternoon. How will you even come back? So you are getting set, you are preparing message, you are entering bus, but that's military training. You must be battle ready. I'm doing that because the evil day will come one day. I must be ready for it. Evil day, I mean the day that God will have you to intervene. When the devil has planned to waste somebody's life, God is going to say, get in there. There's a boy that if you don't, because sometimes, hear this and get this by the Holy Ghost. Some instructions of God are time sensitive. Sometimes God can tell you, go and preach to that guy. You know why he's sending you now? Because that night, is the night they've scheduled for his initiation. And by 3 p.m., God said, get in there and preach to that guy now. He said, but if I don't go today, I can go tomorrow. It might be tougher tomorrow. Because the time you are going tomorrow, are you going to be talking about here now? There are divine interruptions that God will have you make. That's why you must be battle ready, preaching ready, prayer ready, follow up ready. Because sometimes God can just tell you, call up that guy you are following up now. Because he knows something is about to go. Be ready in season and out of season. So we are an army. I must be ready. Amen. Must be vigilant and ready. I say 2 more things or 3 more things and we'll close. Have you been blessed? Again, I say, as soldiers, we must learn to endure hardness in ministry. We must learn to endure hardness. This one major training given to soldiers. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So every good soldier must be taught to endure hardness. Why do you think that when you go to military trainings and military camps and all of that, they don't make everything comfortable for you? They are trying to teach you that this thing you must learn to endure hardness. No soldier that has not been trained to endure hardness can succeed. That's why you see some Christians who stop going to church because they don't have transport fare. You've not been taught to endure hardness. I get what I'm saying? Hardness will come. So, sir, if I'm not talking to what I do, trek. You have legs. Trek, walk to the place. And walk back. So it's hard. It's not hard. That's the way you start walking, start praying in tongues. Before you know you've reached. Who has ever done this? Just try it. Before you know you are there. Prayer walk. That's what they call it. We don't call it trekking. Say amen. So I don't trek. I do prayer walk. Oh, come on. You must learn to endure hardness. Give me that scripture on the screen. 2 Timothy 2 verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness. As a good soldier, so every good soldier will be taught to endure hardness. Endure hardness. Things will not always be perfect, but a soldier must learn to endure hardness. So they don't threaten you tomorrow. If you go to that church again, I'm going to stop paying your school fees. He said, I cannot. What is all that? I think we are producing weak Christians. So, you know what? We are taught that if they want to beat you, take the beating. I got someone saved, a Muslim. I packed the day of God. I was with my friend, Pastor Casey, then. God after the Holy Ghost. We packed things. I gave her, Pastor Casey had a Bible. Gave her that Bible. I had my book. I gave her my book. You know, I was just excited to get her. And she was excited to devour the world. She went home. The people caught her. They beat her blue and black. Poured hot water. I'm not joking. Collected all the Bibles and burnt everything up. Now, when she came tomorrow, you think I will not tell. In fact, after that, the other brother of the girl, came to my house to come and look for me. To come and warn me. Now, I think he's lucky he didn't meet me. Because it's not me that he's lucky I didn't meet him. He's lucky he did not meet me. So, I don't know what I would have done, but he's lucky. Because then I'm not even as cool as I am now. You know the God of Elijah, you would have seen that. So God was just wise. because you think I would have told the girl, okay, well, this one I'm beating you. When she called me, I said, whoa, glory to God. Endure hardness. Things won't always be smooth. They want to take my job because I refuse to take bribe. What do I do? What do you do? Lose your job. That's what you do. Endure. I'm telling you, every Christian must be taught. This is why, again, I say, there are weak Christians because there is weak training. Somebody calls you, sir, you know, I can't be in church today because there's no time for you. The person is okay. If the person cannot take the pain of trekking to church, is it now the pain of losing his job that he can take? When is now there's now need to stand for Jesus? How will he be able to stand for Jesus? I got what I'm saying. We've gone for missions where there's no food. 2-3 days they are preaching, there is no food. No food. No, I think it was Roshima that went for one mission that they had to start. They entered, you get into the bush. They are looking for palm kernel to break and eat. He said, one more mission, you will not come back till you finish. endure hardness. Because sometimes the ministry can be tough. Not because God is wicked. He said you have to endure because it will not stay forever. But those seasons can come. I guess what I'm saying. Those seasons can come. So again, you find out why we teach you for long. Because some things can be hard. But a person that cannot sit for 4 hours to hear God's word, is it the pressure to compromise that I can withstand? See the kind of training Jesus gave his disciples, such that when they were killing them, you want to cut off their hand, they give you 2 hands. See that kind of training. They were taught to be hard, to be tough. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11 verse 23, put it up, I want us to read that together. 2 Corinthians 11 23. Everybody please watch. Endure hardness. Endure hardness. 2 Corinthians 11 23. Are they ministers of Christ? Put up like NLT. Everybody, I want to drive it home. Are they servants of Christ? I know I sound like a madman, but I have served him far more. I've worked out, I've been put in prison more often. I've been whipped times that number. I've faced death again and again. Next verse. 5 different times, the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. 39. I'm trying to show you that it's not always going to be easy. You might not be able to get all the physical blows like Paul did. But your jobs can be threatened sometimes. You must endure hardness. I get what I'm saying. Now, that's why sometimes when you come to me and tell me about how things are, sir, please, can you just excuse me? And I say, no. It's not wickedness. It's training. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night. You know, these chapters talk to my head. That's why those times I used to tell you guys, there was a time in this ministry that I didn't have a house. I can come to this Enugu and stay in a hotel or stay with someone. There were times when there was nobody to stay, and I just locate any park and lie down in that park till morning. The next day, brush your teeth, dress up, go and preach. Nobody ever heard it. If you guys said it when it has stopped, I never said it to any human being, not even my family. Why? You must be taught to endure hardness. And not once that comes to preach on Sunday and say, hey, if I'm even here, I'm preaching, you are sleeping. Me, that did not sleep. Never. Why didn't you tell your family? Because to start with, my mom didn't even understand why her son that went to school will be doing ministry. Of course, she loved the fact that I was doing ministry. But how can I explain to your parents that you say, I'm not going to walk, I'm going to face the Lord? So you now come and tell her, I spent the night inside filling station. You just stay there. You rarely sleep. That's where you learn how to be vigilant. You see, if I'm there, if air blow, I'll wake up. Wind blow. Because you have your phone and you just stay like, they look. God is faithful. 6 a.m. you're the first to wake up. Brush your teeth. And I'm not actually a very hard person. I'm a soft boy. I was created to be like that. Say amen. To enjoy life. So when I had to do all of that for the cause of Jesus, Jesus knew it was a sacrifice. Even him knew. Days of one trouser. Days of one shoe. And the shoe's not even looking good. I've worn one shoe to a point that it divided. I didn't say it open mouth. It divided into two. And I was still wearing it. It's like going barefooted on shoe. And not once will you hear me say things like, oh, that was there, my sister. Was that bed the last year? She wanted to tell that story. That's like crying. It's funny. But I didn't feel bad though. It's not my shoe. Like it was so bad that they had to gather themselves and say, let's buy shoe. Like they understand, like the shoe was that bad, it divided into two. So they called and said, who are there? I think, who else? My sister was there. Who else was there? You are there. They had to go to Gary Castle. What the selection? Say, let's give us shoe. Let's buy. Not once will you see me come out to preach and I'll start complaining. Because actually what happened that day was yet another day I didn't have any place to go. So we finished the meeting with them around, that was IMT, right? Finished the meeting in the night around IMT. I had nowhere to go. So I told them, go. Get into the vehicle, go. But my sister, this lady is troublesome. Because she already figured that me saying, go, I had nowhere to go. Not like, I had people I could go to, but come on, I had evening service in Enugu that Saturday evening. So if I follow, if I go to Abu and need to stay where I wanted to stay, it was going to affect, how will I come back? Where did I see Tifer to even come back? So I said, we should go. My plan was sit down at that bus stop because it's not my first time of doing it. From that morning by 7 a.m., I would have stayed there till 4. And 4, I would get my pure water, wash my face, and go and minister powerfully to the saints. About 3 or 4 of them. Because think there are not plenty. Like, you like to endure hardness. And when I share this story, don't pity me. There's no pity because even if more is going to come, we take it and endure it. How about you show that later God is not going to say you and your wife go to a new place and start a new church? And sometimes God can tell you, abandon everything you have here and go there. You learn to endure hardness. This is not butter and bread. This is military. I guess what I'm saying now. Says that that's why I thank my God that I'm not a church founder. You might not be. But there will be different times in our life that we have to endure hardness for the cause of this ministry. Different times. I get the point. That's why you get on, you say, I can't come to church this evening. I prepare to come, but if you see the rain, that's no longer an excuse. And that's old news. You didn't come to church because of rain? Rain. Rain, and if you have wedding, that day you go to your wedding. Or you cancel the wedding because of rain? Huh? Will you cancel traditional marriage because wedding is, there may be hot? Will you cancel your trad because it's raining? Like heavy rain from 3 p.m. or 2 p.m. till 8. You will not do your trad again? Under the canopy of God, you guys will do the, cover yourself and do it. So get umbrella and come to church. There's umbrella. Come to church. So I went to Richard as we were coming back. My first experience with divine healing. Was that, okay, not the first, one of those experiences. I went for mission work. Before then, I was very open to cold. Once I catch cold, my first mission work, actually, my mom packed my bag and packed a full blanket, you know, blanket for me and another bag. It was that bad. But in that mission, we went to preach somewhere. After preaching, we wanted to come back. It started raining heavily. So we're touching the rain, but the rain was not stopping. So it dawned on me that we noticed that if we stayed there, we had another meeting in the evening, and we had to get there. So my leader said, we go now. Heavy rain. And we entered the rain. That's why I said, we don't trek. We do prayer walk. But then we enter the rain. It's not like drizzling, heavy rain. Shandaraba don brade lengre bete. We walked. That was my first. I walked from there. A big distance, long distance. We got to the house. We are so excited. So we just go to the door of the house. Oh yeah, open the door and enter now. All the ladies that was with us, she was so excited. And she said, ah, she started singing one song. She started singing. We were happy too. So we stayed there and started singing it. We sang for like 35 minutes and started praying under the rain. So we prayed until we were not under the rain, we bled the rain in the corridor. We prayed until the water dried. So as far as I was concerned, I was going to die that day. I was so sure I would go with him, but that was the end. Now, if you come around me, I stay under AC. Now you go run. You can't enter the room where I stay. I will be bare chested under the AC, but it wasn't like that. Do you know where that training came in handy? I just finished serving as JCP president, so the next tenure I handed over to them. The first program they were to hold, open air program in front of the hostel. They were doing opening prayer and whatever. I just came to give them moral support. I wasn't the preacher. Immediately, the new president was going to come up to come and preach. Carry the mic. You know, there is rain that starts with drizzling and now because the rain started pouring down immediately. People started running to get into their hostel. So me, I was seated where I was, like, okay. People were running. So he looked at me, I tell him, preach now. Well, it's not a big deal to me. Rain that we He said, no, he was giving sign. He said, please, I don't know what to do. Can you preach? Me? Me preaching machine. I came up there. If you can hear me, people already running. The mic was working again. It's not like this kind of sound. Everything has gone down. The water has off the gen. So, if you can hear me, I want to share God's word with you. If you want to stay with me under this rain, to hear God's word and to pray, come. People started running back. Yes. Is that all? That's, I preached there for about 45 minutes. There's a major testimony from that. A lady booked for surgery the next day because of a heart condition. Healed that night, sometime under that rain. Now, it wasn't a big deal for me. I didn't even feel like I sacrificed anything. What car is 2018? Over there. How many of you are there? Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That I've never been under that kind of rain since I was born. The rain fell to the point that if you touch the canopy, it will shock you. We're in trouble. But the next day, I didn't start saying, hey, are we going to do it? It didn't feel anyhow. It was even fun. The rain was so bad, it almost carried some people. Like, I'm not exaggerating this. They are here. Brother, as you're going home, you hold yourself because you believe anybody. There are days like that. We had to say it again, Obiago. How you, at least you guys remember that one. 2020. That's 2021. That evening, just when they do crusade, I was at home, just getting set to come out. I was following the meeting, and the rain started falling there. My only pain is that I have not come. I began to rush to be able to come because I wanted to. And thank God, people here. I thought I would come there, and all of you have run away. I would have torn my garment, and all that I failed as a pastor. But I got there. The people that were there, the church members that were there, stood under the rain praying. The people that came for the crusade could not go home. They had to run into some places to take under shade, but they couldn't go home because the people that hosted the meeting were under the rain praying. And then I arrived. Under the rain, I preached under the rain. I get what I'm saying. But that's where you learn to endure hardness. It won't always be rosy, but it's worth it. Is it always worth it? Always for the king and his kingdom. No regrets. So, hallelujah. Let me take 10 more minutes and close. Have you been blessed? So you must learn to endure hardness. So he said, 3 times I was beaten with rod. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and day. See verse 26. I have traveled on many long journeys. You know, traveling is sacrifice for some people. Suppose they travel on many long journeys. I faced danger from rivers and robbers. I faced danger from my own people, the Jews. So all this, sir, I came to church as I was going home and they took my phone. I pray it doesn't happen to you. And it will never happen to you. But whenever you say that, I just sympathize with you. But you can't come and tell me tomorrow, sir, I'm not coming to church again. How can I be going from church? And they took my phone. Paul said he faced danger from robbers on his way to go and preach. It's all what I'm talking about here. Endure hardness. I have faced dangers in the city and in the deserts and on the seas. I have faced danger from men who claim to believe us but are not. Verse 27. I've worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I've gone hungry. I've been hungry and thirsty. And I've often gone without food. I've shivered in the cold and without enough clothing to keep me warm. Then besides all this, I have the daily burden of my concern for church. This one is the heaviest. That burden a pastor carries for the church is also part of the things you endure. That a leader said that sometimes you go to bed, you cannot sleep. You're thinking, how do I make my department work? How do I make my team work? It's part of those things you carry on yourself. It's part of the hardness. Endure it. Don't say, which shall be my own. No, something is your own there. Endure it. Amen. Again, a soldier must be hardworking. I won't say much about that. Being a soldier means you must be very hardworking. Must be hardworking. I won't say much about that. Hardworking. Soldiers are not taught to be lazy. Do you know what I said? They are not taught to be lazy. They are not taught to be lazy. You know, 2 Timothy 2 is actually a chapter Paul gave to talking about the military mindset, lifestyle of the believer.
In verse 15, he told Timothy, study to show yourself approved. The Greek word of that study is putazo. It means make diligence. NLT said, work hard to show yourself approved. So that is hard work. Ministry is hard work. Hard work. Hard work. I get what I'm saying. Hard work. Sometimes, sometimes you need to stay up all night praying. It's part of the hard work. You have to stay up all night studying. Hard work. Take off for my wife, because of what I want to say now. Take off for my wife, because actually, see, this program started that I used to sleep up to 6-7 hours every day because of her. Say, please come and sleep. Since, but for the first 2 weeks of this meeting, I didn't get up to 2 to 3 hours sleep every day. I was preaching to you here. You must be a hard working wife, sir. Because when you are going, I finish here and go home, you go to sleep, I stay up again. I stay up studying, praying, waiting upon the Lord, sometimes till five in the morning. Then I get up in the morning and I come to the office to see you guys in the office. Some of you have booked an appointment to see me tomorrow now. So I go home now and praying through this night. Tomorrow I will appear in the office to see you. Wednesday, after I'm done seeing you, I walk straight from that office to this pulpit to preach. I finish that, I go back again at night, just like that. That's hard work. You can't say, because I've been preaching, I'm not even going to pray again. Ministry is hard work. Are you get what I'm saying? Hard, you must be hard working as a believer. Hard work. Put that so. Work hard to show that you can present yourself to God. Work hard. Make diligence. So I can tell you, nobody can succeed in his work because he's a very lazy person. That's why, for real, I don't have any words for people that say things like, pastoring is not work. I beg, go and get a job. Come and try it. Even to be a lazy pastor is hard. It's even hard to be a lazy pastor. Sometimes, as you're praying that night, God is showing you things about people, showing you things about people that you can never tell them. You're just there praying, contending. That's why there are many things that happen in this church that I just tell my wife, I say, you know, this, I was telling you guys 2 days ago, I mean yesterday, I told her, this one is going to be a pastor. How did I come about that? I've been praying for that brother. Because so many consistency, I stayed in prayer, and God said, don't worry. Not only will he be fixed, he will pastor with you one of these days. And I know it, and I'm never going to tell that guy, never. But it's going to happen. I get what I'm saying. Now, that's work. So don't be lazy. Do you know what I said? You're an usher. How can I become? I'm just coming from school. I even say I should come and usher. Oh my, come and stand up and start ushering. Sabo, on Thursday, they say, you know, sometimes when I see people complain about something, I say, people are not even ready. They say, you should wear uniform on Thursday. But I'm coming from work. Carry your uniform in your bag. Or wear it to work. Wear it to school. I get what I'm saying. Hard work. So after this all-night rehearsal, we are still coming tomorrow evening. Let me look for you. Hard work. That's how soldiers are trained. I'm not saying this to insult. Okay, I'm not calling any force. Have you noticed when there is a roadblock somewhere around 2 a.m. There is one force that if they are there, you get there by 2 a.m. everybody has left. But if these soldiers that are there, 3 a.m. they are there. Have you observed this? They are awake. How are they trained like that? They're trained to work out. That's another force I know. I don't know why you guys are laughing. But if that was there, 10:30, 11, they've slept. Must be trained to be hardworking. I get the point. From these 10 days of light, you know, last week I was telling my wife, well, sometimes God has to be the one to remind me, you need to rest. You know, God, the Bible said Jesus, disciples went for missions and came back, and he told them to go and rest. I was telling her, next week, I will not be in the office. She even know. After this meeting, after Tuesday, Wednesday, I'm just going to rest. Because, you know, immediately after that, the planning for Zoe starts back to back. I'm here on Sunday, I'm here on Monday, I'm here on Tuesday, just like that till the meeting. And it's like, you must be hardworking to soak in the pressure. It's military job we're doing here. Amen. So again, I say all this pampering we try to pamper believers, we think we actually love them. We are not training them. I wasn't pampered. My people are here, they can tell you, my first year as a Christian, as a minister and all of that, I went almost every weekend to a community in Osoka, because that was where that my leader was staying. I would travel there every weekend, Friday to Sunday. What was I doing? I would just go there and stay with her. Then she was sewing. She had this tailoring shop where she used to sew. So when she goes in the morning, I go sit down there with her. And I carry her notes. And I'm reading and I'm asking her questions. I said every other week. Weekends like that, you see me there. If I'm not praying and fasting. If I'm not there, then I'm in the chapel praying and fasting. It's hard work. I know what I'm talking about. There must be that, all this laziness that will promote in the name of Christianity. That's not love. Everybody tries to shout out to say your mental is affected. Let your mental be affected. Because Satan doesn't care about your mental health. Work hard. You get the point? He's the 23 now. Some of these media ushering guys are thinking, this man is wicked. Because you might not even be surprised after these 30 days I make. Come on, just put it in my heart. I'll give you guys another 8 hours marathon teaching and I will not feel bad about it. Just talk to God, not to tell me. If he tells me, I'm going to do it. The worst is you will not come. Now, glory to God. Be hardworking. Let me add this before I proceed. Carry this same thing I'm saying into your studies. Carry it into your career. You see that same hard work? A student reads for 30 minutes. I say, you sleep. And after, we are shouting, first class is coming. You're saying, amen. We need to reduce your voice. Hard work. Hard work. Nobody under me is going to come out with anything less than 2-1. Now, before you shout amen, be sure you are ready, because even though you're under me, you have a 2-2. Hard work. Don't be lazy. Sometimes all we ask of you in your business is wake up every day and post. And let me even say this by the Holy Ghost. Some of you need to stop just posting on your status. Some of you, some of these things you are posting on your status every day. If you can sometimes wake up, dress up in the morning, go from shop to shop and tell people about your business, you will do better than others you are posting on your status and saying, patronize us today. Nobody is going to do that. So that's very stressful. That is exactly what I'm saying. You know, Igbos have one very powerful culture of hard work. I don't know where some people are. I see, you go to the market. You know, there are people that are inside of Obete who don't have shop. Are you aware? And they come out every morning. Sometimes they go home with more money than people that have shops. You say that just they're not wicked, they're doing business. They see you. TV natural, what do you want? Television, oh dear. It's all, anything you want to buy. That is hard work. That is not taking what life threw at you. Someone would have been at home saying, I don't have shop, I'm trusting for capital to open my business. This other guy will go to the market. What do you want? Shoe. Ha. Thank God you met me. Now, if you have seen me any other thing, if you admit, if you have told him anything, you just come in and say, can you show how? Bunyoche. You know, in Igbo, it's on our boss half here. You know, but that's hard work. But that's too small for you. So you've been posting buy this on your status for 2 years. Nobody has bought it. Don't you think that the same thing you do with evangelism, that if you get on the street and tell people that they may buy it, I'm just saying. You get the point? Glory to God. You know, one of the most, I'm not, you might be following this meeting now, one of the most hardworking people I've seen in the area of business is my younger brother. Barons, actually. Some of you think all this classic prince is doing, you think, Barons told me one day, he said, there is no shop in this whole Onsoka that I don't have their number in my phone. He said, I've entered their shops with my leg, one on one. There's no shop. He said, okay, to you. I said, how do you know this, okay? Now, that is hard work in business. I always have been posting on his status, by print with us. Calendar, that's not how it's done. Almost every high school in this Enugu, he has gone to department by department. I'm not joking.
department by, do you guys want to print polo? Do people want to print brochure? Everywhere. Now, you can't just be lazy and think that things are going to work. That's the same thing you don't do in ministry. Nothing works until you work it. That's why there are some pastors that do, you don't, what do you need an office for? Where your church is just about 10 people. What you see? Nobody see you. Get out from that and begin to push to people. You are sitting in the office turning your seat. Sell that seat. You don't need the seat actually. Nobody's coming to see you. You just rotate your seat. Bring me cold water. This morning you don't have, you are drinking it. Be hard working on a serious note now. Be hard working. I guess you know what I'm saying? And that's why I'm going to say the last thing. Being an army also means that we must be disciplined. I'm going to close with that. We must be disciplined. Are you here? Disciplined. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 4. He said, no man. I love that scripture very, very well. No man that worries entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. Give me please NLT of that verse. Let's read everybody together. Soldiers don't get tied up in the affairs of civilian life, for then they cannot please the officer who enlisted them. Many of us are too distracted with many things. Stay disciplined. You don't get everything as a soldier. Everything is not your business. Cut off distraction. I'm going to close with that today. Cut off distractions from your life. Soldiers don't get involved in civilian affairs. It's not everything that you get involved with. Cut off civilian affairs. Cut off distractions. Some relationships in your life are distractions. Some things you do are distractions. Soldiers must be trained to be disciplined. Right? All this I'm going to be praying for at 6 p.m. But about that 6 p.m., you're on your phone talking, you know, I love you, I miss you. You even tell the person, you know, I should be praying now, Sha, but I prefer talking to you. Cut off distractions. Be disciplined. Soldiers don't get tied up in the affairs of civilian life. Give me another translation of this. Amplify it, please. No soldier, when in service, gets entangled with the enterprises of civilian life. His aim is to satisfy and please. That's why, if you don't learn anything from me, learn focus. I'm not doing other things in my life. Focused. Discipline. Everything is not your business. Every conversation is not your business. Social media should not be your undoing. Call it off if you have to. Stay focused. Listen to me, friends. Some of you now, you're not married. You're not even in a relationship because you're not thinking about marriage. Two things that should concern you. You see your spiritual life. You see making money. Focus on those two things. Cut off distractions. You are not in a relationship. You're not planning to enter one. You're taking calls unnecessarily. Take three guests are calling you. You are buying, and that's why you're not, you don't have money. Why are you buying wig for people you are not doing anything with? Because they are just so distracted. They are too distracted. Why are you buying wig? That's not generosity. That's foolishness. Yes, the girls should be angry, but I'm going to say, that's foolishness. What are you doing? You don't realize the same way you are buying for her, but four other guys are buying for her. And yours may be the smallest. So time to study your Bible. You are talking with 3-4 people. You just talk. You are talking, you are chatting. You have 2 phones. Why? Let me get into all of that. Stay focused. Be a discipline. A soldier is disciplined. Why do you think I'm asking you, you should do regimen? It's time to pray by 3 p.m. every day. Don't be distracted. When you start, I'm getting up and start praying. Be disciplined. You don't get involved with all these civilian affairs. So in other words, there are things that come around you. See them as civilian affairs. I'm a soldier. I don't get involved with all of this. Give me a message. Message Bible. A soldier on duty doesn't get caught up in making deals at the marketplace. He concentrates on carrying out orders. So stay focused.
Are you know what I'm saying?
Stay focused.
And I want to say this by the Holy Ghost. Many of us are not actually weak. We actually have, that is putting in my heart, we have scattered energy. The reason why it looks like you are weak is that you are using your energy for many things you shouldn't use it for. Let me give you an example. In marriage, some of you guys are actually very lovely people. Just that your wife thinks you are not lovely because the love, the little love you have, you've shown it, you are sharing it with 7 other girls. Or 3 other girls. So you talk to, focus on your wife. That seems to be ministry. Many of us are not actually lazy in ministry. But there are many things we are doing. We are doing ministry. Okay, you're already going to school. That's a whole lot already. You are doing business. That's a whole lot already. And it's okay. But then you add all the necessary things. Other things. You are so committed to... Now, I'm not against what I'm going to say. I'm just giving an example. I'm not against it at all. It's okay. But I'm so committed to... On soccer group of students in school, you are their secretary. Now, on soccer school leader association, you are their treasurer. How do you expect to be effective? You are in everything. I live so a focused life as a student. It's the glory of God. I didn't do many things. Now, it's not everything that comes that you should get involved with. I hope you are aware. It's not everything that comes. School politics is good. But you have to be sure it's for you before you get involved with it. So you don't go get distracted. And then you fail. Not because you're not intelligent, but because you are not focused. Now, you know, I'm talking about ministry, but I'm trying to bring your natural life into it. That's why you can't actually pray. Why did I stop playing football? Why did I leave the football club I belong to? Simple. Same reason. I have to pray every day. I have to study every day. I have to go to school. And I'm not planning to be a football player. So I left the club. Because I have to pray. I have to go to school. I have to pass. Stay focused. And I tell you, I wouldn't have been everything I am in my work with God today if I kept with that good football club. It's not possible. Because that my football club was very demanding. The training is 4 p.m. every day. As long as you still belong to those, I'm not saying it's bad, but I hope you are finding time to do other things. I hope you are finding time to do evangelism. And I hope you are preparing to be Victor Shimen. Because it's only because you want to be a football player that you should be doing that kind of thing. If you want to play football 2 times in a week, 3 times in a week, nothing is wrong with that. But then to have a place you go to play football every evening, you better be serious with your life. Be serious. The same thing watching football match. Now ask me where Arsenal is on the table, I can tell you. I know where every club is. But you see this, my 2 legs. Of course, at this my level, I can't even enter viewing center. But then you see me, as in, I'm watching every football match. No, now. Why? I'm not saying it's bad. But your match cannot pass you by. You can talk about evangelism for match. There is program in the evening, but there is a match. Arsenal is playing Chelsea. You know they will. You mustn't be everywhere at the same time. Stay focused. Soldiers are not decided. Stay focused. Amen. A man came to David and told him, I was asked to take care of someone, and while I was looking here and there, the person escaped. He died, though. You can't be looking here and there. Mind your business. Face your front. So, brothers want to watch every football match. Sometimes you're even in viewing center, they put their 3 screens. You are watching. And you find out after this match, the next match, after this match, And this guy's plan it in a way to engage. I'm not saying football is bad. Of course, I found the best football club. You can't even argue it. Because even your club, even though we're not doing well, you are still doing worse than us. Say amen. The glory of God. But ask me the last time how many matches I've seen this season. I'm fanning them. Everybody knows I'm just fanning them. It doesn't mean I must go and watch every match. You can be a Man U fan. You mustn't go watch match every weekend. At least avoid heartbreak.
You know, it's easier you saw online that they warn you than that you went, you witnessed the loss. Save yourself some heartbreak. Just stay after the home, I just check. Oh, they warn us again. Oh, wow. Like if you now check how people warn, you can watch the highlights. I say, oh, so we are discussing the match, they would think you are there. Is that the way? Okay, that father, your post striker. Zikazi. Is this the way he played today? You are not there. Stay focused. Why you go watch a match that know they win you? Stay focused. Glory to God. I'm not trolling you guys. If I want to troll, I will actually throw Chelsea, but let's not go there. But stay focused. Stay focused. You can't be an unserious person and be a Chelsea fan at the same time. Stay focused. So that when people want to insult you and they see that you have money, they will keep quiet. You can't be failing in life and you're still a Chelsea fan. The insult will come from everywhere. You know, when you don't have money, people can insult you anyhow. But when you have money, they look at you, they just say, well, your club is trying, sha. So you gotta make money. Stay, be serious with your life. Say amen. But then on serious note now, in ministry, please stay focused. Don't be distracted. Even you look at me now, I don't do many things. I'm not the type that is organizing every program. I'm not, do you know some people, their lack of focus, and I say this jokingly, some people here, their lack of focus is coming from the numerous programs they attend. That in every program, Mercy Angela is coming to sing, you appear. Tim Edwards is coming to sing, you show up. Are you following me? Glory to God. Frank Press is coming to sing, you are there. Glory to God. Josie Nash is coming to sing, you are here. You're just everywhere. At the time, was the glory everywhere. Just, you know, that's why you're not achieving anything in your life. Stay focused. I'm not saying don't go for programs, but please stay focused. Stay focused. Look at your pastor. I'm a very focused person. If you see me anywhere, you can tell why I'm there. I'm not someone that just roaming from place to place, look for what is not lost. I get the point. And sometimes what you are looking for in your roaming is actually with you. Where you are. Stay very focused. How many times do you see me here on Sunday? You come on church Sunday, you don't see me. I say, where is pastor? Say he went to preach somewhere on a Sunday. You can never, it will never happen. It won't happen. Say, what if they invite? I will not be there. But I went there to learn something. I've missed service in this church for the past how many years? Only the times I've stayed in my pastor's church and I'm learning. I get what I'm saying. Stay focused. Don't roam around. Soldiers don't entangle themselves with everything. You're a soldier. This is God's army. You must think like military men. I didn't say many other things today. Because I said I'll come back to this matter maybe at Zoe. But please, think like a soldier. Act like a soldier. Handle your spiritual life like a military man. Handle your ministry like a military man. Handle ministry. That in military they say obey the last command. Yes. Act like that. Let's not give instruction you're just roaming up and down. Obey the last command. That's military. No, there's no room for failure. Stay focused. Be serious. I said, why I train my work, my people here. I said, why do you do that? It's how soldiers are trained, sir. For instance, you can't be working on that. You can't be like a pastor under me. And after service, you're working in this center. After service, I'm still here seeing people and you go home. Where are you going to? I'm still around. You stay there. You are a yoke bearer. We are fellow yoke bearers, have we? Are you not a fellow yoke bearer? So you sit, if I'm there, sit there. That's how we are trained. So I want to go home, oh, sit down there. You know, I'm trying to put something into your head. You are a soldier. You are not just a civilian. Did you hear what I said? You're not a civilian. Do ministry like that. Take your life seriously like that. Think like that. Talk like that. It's one of the first revelations that God gave me as a Christian. That's why the ministry was started many years ago. Our foundation. The motto of that foundation from the onset was raising an army. Well, that was the first thing God showed me. He said, think like a soldier. I remember that he told me, raise me an army. I can't forget. This is God's house. This is his army. So you cannot be weak. And if you are weak, there is no problem. Training will make you strong. Are you blessed today? Glory to God. Do you love God's word? Did you enjoy that message? Because some people don't like this kind of things. But that's actually what I want you to know. Be serious. That's what I'm trying to say. Be serious. Face your life like a military man. Laugh when you should. Mean business when you should mean business. Joke when you should. Face your life when you should face your life. Pray all night when you should. Study your Bible. Be serious. No room for weakness. Do you think that day, Zoe rally is coming again? No, the last rally we did, you guys were walking. We walked out all this. You think I wasn't looking at you that day and feeling like, hey, these people? But it's okay. It's not now. They say that Zoe rally again. That's the day you disappear. Amen. Let's do this song together. God is building a people of power.
You know that song?
And he's made.
Sing it. Yes. It's a simple hymn. Sing it again.
Say, God is building, sing, God is building a people of praise.
And he's making a people of praise. Come on, sing.
And he's making a people of praise.
That will march through this land by his spirit.
And we glorify his
name. Let me hear you sing.
Say, build your church, Lord.
Build your church, Lord.
Yes, come on, sing it. Come on, let me hear you.
Through your song.
Make us one, Lord.
Make us one.
In your body,
in the kingdom,
in the kingdom.
One more time.
Say, build your church, Lord.
Build your church, Lord.
Make us one, Lord.
Join our hearts, Lord.
Through your Son. Make us strong in your body, in the kingdom,
in the kingdom.
One last time, let me hear you sing it out.
Say, build your church, Lord,
build your church.
Make us one, Lord. Join our hearts, Lord.
Through your soul.
Make us strong, Lord.
In your body.
In the kingdom of your Son.
Everybody, one more time.
Lift your hands and build your church, Lord.
Make us one, Lord.
Join our hearts, Lord.
Through your Son.
In your body.
In the kingdom.
Father, we'll make ourselves available for you for what we want to do in this generation. We yield ourselves to you for what you want to do in us and through us and with us. We are getting better. We are getting stronger. Set for the assignment you put in our hands. Equip us. Change us. Prepare us for all you've ordained to do through us and with us. and make us that army that will do your work and fulfill your mission on earth, that will run the gates of hell out of town. Make us that army. And we are willing, we are valuable for everything you want to do, and it can only get better with us from here. In Jesus' name we pray.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.